doing today? Good? Y'all doing good? Welcome to our second worship experience of the day. My name is Pastor Nick. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. I say it every week. I'll continue to say it as long as I'm here with you all and not in heaven with Jesus. There's no place I'd rather be than here or at one of our wonderful campuses. We're one church in four locations, but no place I'd rather be than here worshiping God, praising His name. And I'm so excited you decided to do that with us here this morning. And listen, today's a little bit of a different Sunday. It's a standalone message. What does that mean? It means that across Bridge City Church, every campus is hearing a different message. So the campus pastors are all preaching a different message today. We usually all get to preach the same message, part of a series, but today we're preaching individual messages, just what we believe God's speaking to our campus. So go on the website this week and listen to every campus. But today we get to hear just one. Yay! Everybody's so happy. So excited about it. Listen, if you've ever heard me preach before, there's usually some ground rules. And the first one is audience participation. So if I ask a question, I expect an answer. If I ask you to do something, I expect you to respond. Okay, it's really simple. So what are some things that everyone has? Think about it. Every one of us have this. Some people shout it out in the first service. A nose. Everybody has a nose. It's a great answer. It's a great answer. It's not wrong. I mean, obviously, some people don't have a nose, but that was because of an accident or something. I don't want to get morbid or anything, but that, yes, you can go and say somebody doesn't have a nose, but they did it one time. Okay? What's something everybody has? Come on, shout it out. Raise your hand. Let's have some order. No, I'm just kidding. Yo, what's that? Opinion. Oh, that's right. Yeah, and they share it on Facebook. Good, let's go. Oh, a heart. Everybody does have a heart, except for the lion. Except for a lion. But the lion found out he had a heart whenever he got a group of friends around him and they helped him understand that he did the whole time. Up, Tin Man. Thanks, Jess. The lion was a coward, right? He didn't have any courage. I don't have any courage. The Tin Man didn't have a heart. The Scarecrow didn't have a brain. I'm not up on my, what's the movie called? Wizard of Oz. If anyone in this place would correct me publicly, it would be Jessica Cheddar. It would be. The cowardly lion. Let's get back on track. The Tin Man didn't have a heart, but a group of people got around him and taught him that he did. Perfect segue into connection groups kicking off next week. Some of you have something that you feel like you don't, but you need a group of people around you to encourage you and help you understand that you had it all along. That's why groups are important. What's another thing that everybody has? Organs, they do. Who said attitude? Everybody has an attitude. It's an open screen test today. Every single person has an attitude. Every one of us. Some of you today got in your car, drove here with your spouse, and you had an attitude. The whole ride here, you had one. And when you got out of that car, it changed. It changed. It was a different tune. And either your husband or your wife looked at you like, I don't know who that person is. That's the church attitude. And once you get back in that car after church, boom. Tune's back. All the moms know, you're yelling at your kids. Phone rings, hello. Your kids are like, huh? I don't know that voice. Moms have that. They have that. You can switch right away. Phone voice. Phone. I hung up. I showed my age. I hung the phone up. You hang the phone up. You hung the phone up. Voice is back to the attitude voice. We instantly get to pick what our attitude is. And it's like the Pittsburgh weather. It can change instantly. But we have a choice every single day, sometimes every moment of the day, every minute. What's the song from Rent? Come on, sing it louder. Come on, 500. That's how many minutes you have in a year. You get to choose your attitude all those minutes. And it's my prayer today that you choose to have an attitude for Christ. Paul wrote to us in Philippians. He helps us understand. Let's start. We're going to start in Philippians 4, verse 4. And it reads, always, everybody say always.
Always.
Real loud, like you mean it, with some gusto.
Always.
Be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Paul wrote the book of Philippians to encourage the church of Philippi, which is a really, really small colony of people outside of Macedonia, a little Roman colony. Let's think about it for a second. Let's put it in perspective. We're a little small borough called White Oak outside of a big city called Pittsburgh. And thousands of years later, we're reading this letter that Paul wrote to Philippi, trying to encourage them on what to do, how to walk through life as Christians when their faith is being challenged, when they're being distraught, they're being how to walk through life. We can pull so much out of this because we're just a little town outside of a big city, and our faith can be challenged. How do we walk around when we're in a hostile environment? How do we conduct ourselves in difficult times? How do we still exude joy when things around us don't seem to be going the way that we think they should? The book of Philippians is a demonstration of that. Paul is in jail. He's locked up. They won't let him out. Almost started singing Akon. I'm from McKeesport, guys. I'm from there. I'm locked up. We can be encouraged by this. Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. Let's read them. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Big question. Big one. Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? He hits us with three questions. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. He reminds us, if any of these things are true, if there's any encouragement at all, if there's any comfort at all from being loved by Christ, if there's any friendship or fellowship at all of what you're a part of, do this. Let's pause here. There's cards on your seats. 40 years as a church we're getting ready to celebrate. This is a really big deal. 40 years marks a generation. In just a couple weeks, on the 18th, we're going to be celebrating that in one location at our North Braddock campus at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And we're asking you, as the church, to help us commemorate that. These cards are going to be used to make an art installation at the celebration. Every person that makes up Bridge City Church is going to fill out one of these cards, and we're going to put them together on a wall. You're going to answer some questions. You're going to write on the card. You can put your name on the card if you'd like to. You can do it anonymously if you want to. But here's the questions. You can take a picture of the screen behind me. You can fill it out today, turn it at the connection point, or you can take it home and bring it back next week if you feel trustworthy enough to do that. I know what happens when things leave here. They usually don't come back. I'm just saying. You have good intentions. What's your favorite memory from Bridge City Church? I shared my favorite memory during the first worship experience. One of our original members was sitting right here, named Sally Paladin. Every week I'd walk into North Braddock, I'd go what I called the hug hallway at the time, and when I'd get to the end, she'd point right at my chest and she said, "Have you met Jesus yet? Have you met Jesus yet?" And I couldn't wait until the week that I got to walk in and I got to say yes. One of my favorite memories. What has God done in your life at Bridge City Church? I'm hoping that that card's way too small for you to fit that on there, but we're asking that you try. How did you end up at Bridge City? Hopefully you don't write on there, "I was threatened," or, you know, "court ordered," or anything like that, but I came because of a girl who's now my wife. First week was because of a girl. Second week was because of a girl. Third week was because I met Jesus in a real way. I don't know what your answers to those questions are, but I can't wait to read them. I can't wait to see hundreds upon hundreds of those cards put together. And those answers make up the stories of Bridge City Church. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing to see. But those answers brings us joy. That's where we get joy from. That's a gift from God to see those things, to read those things. But there's also some things that kill joy. Let's think about it. What are some joy killers? Let's be honest here. Every time the Patriots win the Super Bowl, that's a joy killer. It really is. It is. Notice I didn't say Tom Brady. I said the Patriots. I don't hate Tom Brady. It's Bill. He really is. Bill Belichick's the problem. That's a joy killer. Am I right? Am I in the right place? Am I not in Pittsburgh today? Okay. Let's think of some more joy killers. The fact that the Pittsburgh Pirates have to promote the fact that the Atlanta Braves are coming to town to sell out their stadium. That's a joy killer. They have to promote other teams to sell tickets at their stadium. I know I'm joking, but here's the ultimate joy killer. There's a real enemy that his main purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And once you let him get foothold in your life, once you open a door, he's coming in and he's staying. He's staying. And he's going to rob joy a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. He's going to find that scheme in your life and he's going to keep hitting it. He's going to ensnare you. It's like a trap. You ever see a bear trap? They can't get out. And they stay trapped until they die. Till they bleed out. Or they just die from exhaustion and hunger. Because they're trapped. The enemy will ensnare you until all of the joy in your life is completely gone. You know how you get untrapped? If somebody comes alongside you and opens up the trap and pulls you out. What else keeps you trapped and robs you of joy? Let's keep reading in Philippians. Let's go verses 3 and 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. This is interesting. Let's ask a question. Who are you living to impress? If you're living to impress people around you or the world around you, that could really kill your joy. If you're so worried about everything around you and impressing the audience around you instead of the audience of one, it can really be a weight that you weren't called to carry. Are you living for the applause of the world around you? Are you living for the applause of Jesus? Are you living for here and now, or are you living for eternity? These are heavy questions, but they're real. These will kill your joy. And if you're doing it, you're welcoming it. You're inviting the assassin in. Let's keep reading. I'm going to read a lot of verses here. They're going to impact us. The Word of God is what I want to preach today, not me. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let's go. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Verse 5 will hit you. How do you have the same attitude as Jesus? Let me tell you. You have to spend time with him. You want to have his attitude? You have to know him. You have to be with him. You have to read his word. You start to hang around him, you start to act like him. You start to read his word, you start to talk like him. You start to have his word in your mind and your heart, you start to speak out and believe the promises like he did. Let me push this point of verse 5 a little bit further. My son is 4. He no longer watches this young man named Clarkman on YouTube any longer. You want to know why? Clarkman had a little attitude on him. Guess what Lennon started to do? He started to have the same little attitude Clarkman had. You hang around with people, you pick up their attitude. You feel me? Start hanging around Christ-like people. I bet you you start acting like them. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. It's true. It really is. You want to be like Christ, hang out with him. Let's keep going. Verse 6. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. He gave us the ultimate example of how to live our lives. Live our lives with the goal of giving up everything. Humble ourselves with every opportunity that we have. Let's go to verse 9. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the time of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Church, how do we possibly focus on Jesus. You know, the Bible gives us such clear direction. It really does. It helps us answer every question that we have. And sometimes in life, it's really hard to be able to focus on things, but Hebrews 12:2 says, just let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. If we keep our eyes on him, we move forward in everything. What we look at affects our joy. What we take in affects our joy. What we scroll through on Instagram affects our joy. What we scroll through on Facebook affects our joy. I'm preaching to me. I'm friends with a lot of you on Facebook. Your life is not always joyful. Your posts aren't always joyful. Trust me. I'm preaching to me too, church. What you take in on Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus, or I can't even name all the streaming services. There's so many now. I swear, WTAE probably has a streaming service. KDKA, WPXI in that. That's probably what it's called. DVE Live in that. You stream DVE 24 hours a day. What would they talk about, Cheddar? Sounds like a nightmare. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Nick's favorite hobby used to be to call Mark Madden to see if he'd yell at him. I'm just saying. It really was. That's our drummer. That's before Christ, Nick. What we focus on dictates our joy. If we fix our eyes on him, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne, pleading your case, speaking on your behalf. The fact that Jesus is sitting beside God, pleading your case, every time God looks at Jesus, he has to look through Jesus to see you. He doesn't see you anymore once you became a son or daughter of Jesus. He sees Jesus first. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Let's imagine for a second. This is you. This is Jesus. You good? When God looks at you, he doesn't see you anymore. He sees Jesus. This is why I brought the big Bible today. He doesn't see you anymore. He sees Jesus. So we need to fix our eyes upon him. Let's keep going. What's a key to joy? Develop a servant's heart. If you're struggling with joy, serve the kingdom. Serve Jesus. It'll activate something in you. And it doesn't have to be something huge. Just serve the kingdom. Serve Jesus. I'm overflowing with joy because I got to serve the kingdom yesterday. And you may be thinking, oh, he probably preached in front of thousands. I weed whacked a yard. And I'm overflowing because of it. I weed whacked a yard and I got to take a power washer somewhere that somebody power washed a back patio, and you would have thought they were with Jesus the whole time because of the joy. I watched people scrub floors and wash windows of a house that somebody's moving into. Pull weeds. I got to light a ground hive of bees on fire because somebody ran over it with a lawnmower. I thought the guy was just really excited to be cutting grass. No, he got stung 13 times, overflowing with joy. That's kingdom stuff. So fun. And then somebody else started taking over cutting grass, and he was like, hey, do you think so-and-so is mad that I'm cutting the grass now? I was like, no, I think he's okay. Joy. Because everybody was serving. The people that moved, we got to hire a new executive pastor. They moved here from Ohio. They're originally from Beaver Falls. We'll explain more of this later. We announced it to leaders on Sunday night and Monday night. You'll hear more. But they moved from Ohio. Took them 4 hours to move all their stuff out of their house and into the truck. Yesterday, it took them 45 minutes here. Because there's a whole bunch of people that have a servant's heart here. They were in awe. Go all in with God. Go all in with God, and the joy in your life will overflow. Philippians 2, 12 through 13, therefore, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard. Show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Church, go all in. Go all in everything. Take a genuine interest in others. Verses 19 through 21. I hope the Lord Jesus sends Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered soon with a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling you you're getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Christ. Take a genuine interest in others' lives. The relationship between Paul and Timothy is one of the most beautiful relationships in the Bible. You got to read 1 and 2 Timothy to really get a huge glimpse of it. It starts here. You see it in Philippians. But take some time. Read about it. Study it. Take a genuine interest in the people's lives around you. As a matter of fact, next week, September 11th, we're kicking off connection groups. It's time for you to have a group of friends. You read the Bible, you pray, decide what your next step's going to be. It's an opportunity for you to take a genuine interest in people's lives, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. Let's keep going. Live a life, intentional relationships. Be intentional with the relationships around you. They don't just happen on accident. They never will. You have to be intentional, especially the older you get. You know, when you're in school, you're a student, you have to see people every day. There's structure. When you graduate high school, you go to college, sometimes you go into a trade, sometimes you just start working, but it's a hard transition in life, but you still see people because you don't have as many responsibilities. Then you're in your 20s and life kind of gets weird. But then you start gathering again, you start hanging out, and you're with people all the time. And then 30 hits. And then you start to have a little bit of money. And then you start doing stuff with your friends. Or you start having kids, and then it gets weird again. But then you start hanging out because some people have houses. But all these transitions in life, you have to be intentional to walk through them. Let's read these verses. But I think it's necessary to send back to you
Epaphroditus.
Let me do it again. I think it's necessary to send back to you
Epaphroditus,
my brother and fellow worker. He's a true brother and co-worker and fellow soldier. He is my messenger to help me in need. The relationships in the Bible are cool to study and cool to understand, but they're intentional. They were going somewhere. Church, being intentional and doing things on purpose results in a promise. And here's the promise. I skipped some verses, but I want you to read Philippians 2 in its entirety this week. But I want to go back to verse 14. And it says, do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. I'm reading on a little bit. It's not on the screen. But verse 16 says, hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service as an offering. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share my joy. Church, it's an honor to run with each and every one of you. And it's an honor to watch each and every one of you go outside of these walls and take the joy that you receive from God in here and go out with it. It's an honor to hear people say, are you a part of Bridge City Church? Sometimes they ask, and then they have something negative to say. That's okay. It's all a joy. Everything's a joy. Sometimes I don't have that perspective, and my wife reminds me. Sometimes she doesn't have that perspective, and I'm scared to remind her. I don't feel safe sometimes, guys. You know, I've said that before when I was at the doctor or in the hospital and my wife was in the room and they just look at me. Seriously, I was in the hospital once and Rachel was in the room and the social worker, they have to come in when you're in the hospital. And they said, do you feel safe at home? And I said, that's my wife right there. And no, I don't. You know, they didn't do anything. If I ever did not feel safe at home, I feel like I have no one to turn to. No one would believe me. I don't. How do we walk all this out? It's really simple, but it's hard. The instruction is clear, but it's hard to do. 1 Peter 5:6 tells us, humble yourself. Tried to throw it on the worship team this morning. I wanted a certain instrumental to be played right now because I am from McKeesport. Wanted you all to just sit down, be humble. Thanks, Ham. But when you humble yourselves, when you sit down, when you put yourself at a lower position under the mighty power of God. When you make yourself less and Him more in every area of your life, every day of your life, not just Sunday for an hour and a half. When you carry an attitude of Christ, not just when you're in this, it's easy when you're around everybody. It's hard when you're just with your spouse. She'll preach. She won't say it right now, but I'm not always joyful. I'm not. I gave her an opportunity. She did not seize it. I'm not. But I'm trying. I know you're not always joyful. I was pointing at the whole area here. But we got to try. We got to work on it. Every moment's a new opportunity to humble ourselves and put God higher. And at the right moment, He's going to lift you up. Put you at a place of honor. What does that mean? You're not living for here. This isn't your final destination. This isn't what you're living for. This isn't it. You're living for something more. Eternity's your goal. White Oak's not your destination. This isn't it. We humble ourselves and God exalts us in His timing. We get small, He gets bigger. We get small, He gets bigger. This is a promise. If you've taken your rightful position as a son or daughter, if you've received what Jesus Christ did on the cross, if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. So, church, I'm going to ask a question. If you're here today and you don't have a day, if you don't have a moment in time where you've received Him as your Lord and Savior, that means you've prayed for Him to forgive you of your sins. You've had a moment at the cross of repentance. You've accepted Him as forgiver of your past and leader into your future. I want today to be your day, and there's some people that are prepared and ready to pray with you and help you understand that. I just want you to slip your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to understand what salvation really means. I need to understand what it means to be justified. I need to understand what Jesus did on the cross for me. I need today to be my day that I become a son or daughter of Jesus. Anyone at all? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to transition right now and we're going to receive communion this morning. As you came in, you should have received the elements. If you didn't, just slip your hand up. The ushers are prepared to give them to you. You know, one of the first things Jesus did was He got Himself a small group of men to share life with. As a matter of fact, one may call that a connection group. And next week, we're actually kicking off connection groups here at Bridge City Church, September 11th. And if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Why did Jesus do that? Because he knew that He needed a group of people to do life with. And one day, Jesus was sitting down with those men. his connection group, if you will. He was breaking bread with them. He was having supper. Before he was going to go to the cross and give up his life for them, for us. And he told them as they broke bread to take that bread as a remembrance of the body he shed for them, he gave for them, and to drink of the wine, in our case, juice, as a remembrance of the blood that washed them and us clean. And we're going to do the same thing that the disciples did on that evening. We're going to take of the bread, a cracker, take of the juice as a remembrance of the body that was given and the blood that was shed. And church, I want you to understand that as we receive communion, we're not mourning a death. We're celebrating a life. We're not just remembering the death. We're celebrating the power that we get to walk in now. And I want to make sure before you partake that you make sure that you're right with Jesus, okay? And you're right with the people around you. Because communion means common unity. And it's a common unity between you and Jesus and you and the people around you. Because this is what unites us, the body and the blood of Jesus. So let's partake and let's remember the body that was given. Let's drink of the juice as a remembrance of the blood that washed us clean. Church, we're going to stand to our feet. The worship team is going to lead us into worship. And Lord, I pray that each of us would remember that we have a choice every single moment to have an attitude for you. And God, I pray that our attitude would be a reflection of you, and that our attitudes would draw people closer to you because of the joy that overflows out of our life. In Jesus' name, we celebrate who you are and who we get to be because of you. Let's worship, church.